feeling God's presence and feeling Him working and moving in our life. We don't live by feelings, but it feels good to feel God's presence. I'll tell you that right now. So Psalms 42, if you found it, say amen, and I'll know you're there. Amen. Psalms 42, look at verse number 1, just 11 verses. It says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Now verse 11, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Now we'll take our text in verse number 11, but that phrase in verse 11 is repeated three times in the text. And it's repeated for emphasis. And he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And what I want to preach on this thought this morning is this thought. The title of the message is, why art thou cast down? Why art thou cast down? I'm going to preach this morning on the subject of depression. You say, why are you preaching on that? Because God told me to. And depression is a real thing. And through the pandemic, people have suffered horribly from depression. And suicide rates have soared across the world. Let me tell you, you got to be down pretty bad to take your own life. And you know what the sad thing is when it comes to this depression? And so many find themselves without hope and without God, and they find themselves so desperate that they end their lives. And how sad is that? Thank God, as a child of God, we have somewhere to go. Every time the psalmist said he was cast down, he said he would go to God. And it's a real thing to go to God when you're cast down. So let's pray and ask God's blessing. Father, the psalmist, as he prayed, he said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou cast down? And God, Lord, we're going to preach this morning on this thought of depression. And so many are cast down. Lord, so many are sad and so many are struggling with life. And God, Lord, the root cause of most of these things is that relationship with Jesus Christ. And God, the things that are brought to bear upon the soul and upon humanity. And Lord, upon men and women's psyche. And God, the devil's a murderer and a liar from the beginning. And he wants people to be so down that they contemplate suicide. He wants to destroy people's lives. And God, but you're the life giver. And you want to preserve life and give life and save life. Lord, I pray you just help me to preach this morning. Bless the word, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. This morning, as we look at this subject of depression and this thought of why art thou cast down, Webster says depression is a state of sadness. You know, people that are melancholy, people that can't find any joy, a state of sadness, a sinking of spirits. Now, I know some people are given to depression just because of who they are. And there are folks that are optimists. There are people that are pessimists. And there are people that, you know, in between there, somewhere in the middle. And I've never been one that's been ever given to depression. Matter of fact, my thought is, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. It'll be all right. It'll be okay. You know, the plane just lost its wings. It's okay. It'll be all right. That's who I am. Panic is not ever really been a part of my psyche or my personality. And yet I know others that they're complete opposites of that. And God has given them that. They have kind of been made that way. They panic about everything. And it's part of their makeup. It's part of who you are, your personality, and what you tend to gravitate to. And I've never, even though I've never suffered from depression, I don't dismiss it because I know that there are plenty who do. And for various reasons. And we're going to look at that this morning. And look at examples throughout the Bible of people that did. But it's a seeking of spirits, a one of courage or animation, a state of dejection. It's feeling down, emptiness of the heart and mind. In the text, the psalmist is cast down. Verse 11, there's no doubt. He says that. He says it and repeats it. He says in verse 3, my tears have been my meat day and night. Don't people depressed cry a lot? Sure they do. And the psalmist went through a period of depression. In verse 5, he says, why art thou cast down? And again, he was cast down. He was going through some difficulty. Verse number 6, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Hey, this speaks of depression. Then verse 11, why art thou cast down, oh my soul? And again, you know, when it comes to depression, it's very common for men and women, and today, even children, to experience depression. You know, there was a time when depression was for older people. And then it was for middle-aged people. And then it was for young people. And now it's even for children. You say, why is that? Because our nation is categorically gone away from God. See, happiness is the Lord. And when the Lord is not part of your life, then happiness is fleeting. And depression is more common. Why is depression so common in our society? They even give children now antidepressants in the day in which we live. Little children. And I think to myself, what is wrong that little children have anything to be oppressed about? Because little children usually don't have any worries of any kind. But today, children got to worry if mommy and daddy are even going to come home. Children got to worry if there's going to be food on the dinner plate. Children got to worry if they're going to be able to go to school, if they're going to have any friends, if there's even going to be a tomorrow. It's very common to experience depression in the society and in the world in which we live. It's clinically treated with depression medication. And every day I was looking up this for study's sake. Because I'm old school, you know. Years ago, if you were depressed, you got Valium. But they don't even prescribe Valium anymore. Most people don't even know what Valium is. My mom, when she went through her state of that, what she went through, I mean, she was on heavy doses of Valium that would put an elephant to sleep. And it didn't make her go to sleep. And she didn't weigh 90 pounds. And she was going through it for about 20 years. And I know all about living with someone who's going through some things because we experienced it firsthand. But today they use Zoloft and Prozac. Prozac's not even the prevalent medication anymore. You know, it's Zyprexa and all these other new ones that you can't even know their names that they've come out with. And some people are on two forms of depression medication because one ain't enough. They got all these other ones. They say you can add to your current depression medication because it's not doing the job. Now, that's pretty bad when you're depression medication. You need depression medication for your depression medication. You're pretty bad off. But that's the truth of where we are today in our society. A little boy, I believe it was a little boy, was killed on the highway in Los Angeles yesterday. Mom had road rage with somebody, and she gave him the middle finger, and the person pulled up in the car next to him and shot through the door and shot a bullet hole in her 6-year-old child sitting in the back seat. And the child said, Mommy, my stomach hurts. Of course, she pulled the car over, and the child bled to death in her arms. That's depressing. Now, you know that mama's going to face some depression. What a senseless act of violence. And our nation is so angry. You know, you wave at someone and you wonder why they're not waving back at you. They're afraid to look at you. They might get shot if they look at you. You know, everybody just keep their hands on the wheel and looks right in front of them. They don't look around because if you look around, you might get shot. Because people are so angry. Miss Lisa and I were out in the car the other night, and a guy pulled up in a Mustang, and we were in our Mustang. And he's looking over, and I didn't even notice. I was looking at something else, and I said, they said, I think he wants a race. I'm getting too old to race. When I was 18, man, it had been on. There's nothing funner than running two Mustangs different years, right? He probably thought his was faster. It might have been, but mine looks a whole lot better. You said, if I'd have looked over there, I might have been tempted, but I promise you I would not have, right? Like I said, time for that is long gone. And Miss Lisa's laughing. I said, oh, yeah, no, we're not drag racing nobody. Them days are over. He was probably a little depressed that he didn't get to have his race because he was young. But there's depression can be treated clinically. And there are some causes for depression that are legitimate. I mean, there's physical causes for depression. Chemical imbalance in the brain, hormone imbalance in the body. My mom had a terrible hormone imbalance in her body and in her brain. And it made her go stark, raven, crazy. And then something else came in. She checked out and something else checked in. And my goodness, she had devils in her. She had legion in her. And it was, they would treat her. She was in every psych hospital that there was in Cincinnati, and there were six of them. She was in the best of them, and she was in the worst of them. She was in Longview, where they stripped you naked, threw you in a padded cell, threw the food on the floor, and you ate it off the floor like an animal. She had had shock treatments. She had had every medical thing that they could put in her body. And they said, well, you know, it's an imbalance. There's an imbalance. There's an imbalance. There's an imbalance, all right. And I'm telling you, the psych meds would drive the devils out of her because she could no longer control her body. And they would leave. And she would be better for a month, 2 months, 3 months. And then instantly, overnight, instantly in a moment, she would be more mentally ill than she was the time before that. You say, why? Because the devils would leave, come back and find it swept, and they'd bring seven more wicked than themselves. And over a 20-year period, you can imagine how many devils she got in her. But what was the root cause? A chemical imbalance. My father, bless his heart, he hated doctors, didn't believe in medicine. And mom needed some medicine to treat her chemical imbalance. And you know what? After 20 years of doctors experimenting on her, she actually got some medication to cure the chemical imbalance in her body, and she was sane the last 7 years or so until she died. I don't dismiss medicine. I don't dismiss chemical imbalances. When a woman goes through the change of life, there can be a real chemical imbalance in a woman's life. But I'll tell you right now, depression medication will not solve the chemical imbalance. It will not. Hormone replacement therapy might, but Prozac can never fix that. And the medications they come up with can never fix that. And once mom got the right balance back into her body and her and into her brain, she never had cause to be mentally ill again. So there's some physical causes. Our soldiers, post-traumatic stress syndrome is real. PTSD is real. Our soldiers come back from Iraq and they got PTSD. Our policemen that are serving all over America with all these riots, they got PTSD. I mean, they go home and have nightmares at night. The things they've seen on the streets of America. There are children being raised in homes that see so many violent acts, see people kill one another in front of them, and all that they watch on TV and on video games is causing PTSD. A guy gave me a book on video games and technology, what it does to children's brains and young people's brains when they expose themselves to too much of it. It's amazing. I got a copy. If you're interested in it, you let me know. and I'll be happy to share it with you. But I'm telling you right now, our whole society is suffering. You put a child in front of these gory video games and gory movies and Fright Night TV shows they watch, they will have PTSD when they get done watching it. Because they're seeing horrific things that they were never designed to see. So there are some physical causes for depression. There are emotional causes for depression. Traumatic losses in family, finance, and friends. Hey, emotional depression is real. And though I've felt it but for moments, because of God's mercy and grace, there are folks that suffer year after year after year with emotional depression from traumatic loss. And they can't seem to get over it. The loss of a child, the loss of a spouse, the loss of a parent, the loss of a friend. And they struggle with depression. Seemingly, some of them, the rest of their life. And then there's the spiritual, which is underlying in most cases. The physical and emotional and the psyche are all tied to the spiritual. And see, that's what our modern medicine denies. That there's any spiritual tie or equation to clinical depression. The psalmist gives the answer. Every time he says he's depressed, his answer is to go to God. Is to go to God. The problem which we experience in today, though, is people are so far away from God, they don't know where to turn. And that's the sad part. I want to look at some spiritual causes in the Bible for depression. And there are some spiritual causes. And I don't know if we'll get them all today. I got six. But I want to go through, I want to look at these, and I pray that it'll be an encouragement and a help to us. The number one, where I want to start this morning is, you know, depression can, in the child of God's life, can be directly related to being backslidden. You know, the backslidden Christian, the Bible says the backslider in heart shall be filled with his ways. And when you go away from God, nothing good is going to result from that. And there are examples in the Bible that we can name right off. The first one's Naomi in the book of Ruth. Look over in the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth. Look, you know, and she's a classic example of what happens when you backslide away from God. She's in Bethlehem, the house of bread. Her and her husband, Elimelech, they're wealthy. They take their sons down into Moab and Mahlon and Chilion. And they go down there and dwell in Moab for about 10 years. And when it's all said and done, her husband's dead. Her boys are dead. And she's completely broke and has nothing. And she comes back to the nation of Israel. We'll pick it up in verse number 19. And this is what she says. Or verse number 18. Let me get in the right spot here. Verse number 19. And so they two went. She has Ruth with her. And those two went and they came to Bethlehem, the house of bread, where she belongs. And it came to pass when they are come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them and said, "Is this Naomi?" He said, "What has happened to you, sister? What has happened to your life?" And she said to them, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitter with me." You know, backsliders often are very bitter. Bitter towards God, bitter towards the church, bitter towards life, bitter towards everything. They blame everyone for everything. It says, "I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. And why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, the Almighty hath afflicted me?" So what she's saying here, he says, "Hey, I'm so bitter, and I'm so depressed, and I'm so down. Nothing is going right in my life." You know, I've never saw a stable backslider. After 41 years of Christianity and 40 years of ministry, when you go away from God, let me tell you, that is very depressing. And I can't tell you how many homes I've been in of families that have went away from God, and men have went away from God, and women have went away from God, and children have went away from God. And man, their home, their situation is very depressing. And they're sad, and they're troubled, and they're upset all the time. In Jeremiah chapter number 3, you know the word backslider is used more in the book of Jeremiah than any other book in the Bible? And in Jeremiah chapter 3, God uses that word backsliding and backslider and backslidden and applies it to the nation of Israel and what had happened to them. And they're getting ready to go into captivity. They're living there in the city. King Nebuchadnezzar is waiting to come and besiege them. They've already, more than half of them have been carried away captive. And when it's all said and done, they're going to be eating their own kids because they're so hungry for food. You talk about a depressing situation. Chapter 3 and in verse number 6, the prophecy of the Lord, in verse 6, the Lord said unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up very high on the mountains under every green tree, and there have played the harlot. Hey, idol worship, gone away from God, sacrificing your children to false gods. I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me, but she returned not, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, and went and played the harlot also. Hey, I mean, you know, you think people would learn from example, but they don't. It says, and it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land, committed adultery with stones and with stocks. Yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but faintly saith Lord. The Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel have justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, return thou backsliding Israel, saith Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, if thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you, one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you, look what it says, pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass, when ye be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall I remember it, neither shall I visit it, neither shall it be done anymore. You know, it's funny that God would insert that word pastor there. What does every backslider need? To get back to church and get under the preaching of the pastor. What does everyone need? Everyone needs a church and a pastor. Everyone needs that. And God said, hey, backsliding Israel, get back to my house and I'll give you a pastor that'll love you and pray for you. Can you imagine how backslidden people have gotten during the pandemic? I ain't fussing at people. But it's easy to get backslidden when you're sitting around a television set in your pajamas eating Fruit Loops. And looking at your cell phone. And not paying attention to the service. That's why some people are never coming back. And they've gotten backslidden. And they've gotten away from the interaction with a what? Pastor. Who loves them and prays with them and communicates with them and is a part of their life. Verse 22 in the same text, he says, return ye backsliding children, I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. You know what the salvation of the backslider is? It's God. It's that relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you get backslidden, can I tell you, it's easy to become melancholy. It's easy to hit a low place. It's easy to get in a system and a rut of clinical depression. And can I tell you that when you go away from God, depression will follow you very closely. But when you return, there's hope. What did he say in verse 1? He said, if thou will return, chapter 4, verse 1, if thou return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. And if thou put away the abominations out of thy sight, then shalt thou remove, and thou shalt swear the Lord liveth in truth and judgment and righteousness, and the nation shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. What's God saying? Hey, return. Return unto the Lord. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, sow not among thorns, circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskin of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. You know what the hope of anything is? It's repentance. You say, what did Naomi do? Boy, she was depressed. And she repented and went back to Bethlehem. And when you read the end of Ruth, at the end of chapter 4, she is rejoicing. God is blessing her. Hey, and God has restored unto her the joy of her salvation. The prodigal son in Luke 15. You know, in the hog pen of sin, away from the Father, did you know that had to be depressing? You know, it's easy to be poor and become rich, but it's hard to be rich and become poor. I promise you, that is a hard thing to do. And you know what the funny thing is about, you know, people going away from God, people going away from God's blessings, people going away from the Father's house. You know, when they do those things, they talk about their friends. But know what you find out in life when you go away from God? When it's all said and done, you don't have any friends. Hey, where was the prodigal son's friends in the hour of his need? If you look in Luke chapter 15, and it says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into far country, and there wasted his sum of riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have fain filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. There was a young man in high school. And I'm just forgetting his name. But he went out with this blonde-haired girl. She was pretty. She was a majorette on the football team. And so she did cheers and so on and so on. And he was very popular. And so was she. They were both kind of wealthy. He had a hot rod Camaro. And they would ride around and tool around together in that thing. And he got in a terrible accident. I mean, they won homecoming king and queen. They were really going to be something. They were going to have a life together. And they got in an accident, and he was left to be a paraplegic. You know, in a wheelchair, drinking out of a straw, turning his head because he's paralyzed. Oh, and that young girl hung around him, said, "Oh, I love him, I love him, I love him," for about 3 months. And he was so popular for about 3 months after. And you know what? He went off to be taken care of by his parents and probably to be institutionalized and to live in a nursing home. To not have a friend in the world. You know why? Because them people that you try and impress, and then people that you try and, you know, hold on to were never your friends. They forsook him like forsook him like the plague. I bet Miss Lisa remembers. You remember his name, Miss Lisa? What was it? Do you remember? We won't say his last name. What's his first name? Beckham. That's right. You know who your friends are when you're down. You know what the funny thing is? People run from the preacher and they run from the church, but that's their only real friends. You say, why? Because we know your name and pray for you every day and want to help. You know, I'm always amazed, strangers that call the church asking for help. Well, where's your friends? Where's your family? Where's all those people? You know why they come to the church? Because there's no friend like the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. If you're going to get help anywhere, you're going to get it from the church, because those are the ones who care. I'm amazed why people run from the church. Not run out of the church, you ought to be running into the church. Amen. You talk about depression, he was depressed. Until verse 17, when he came to himself. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father. Man, if you can just get to the Father, if you can just get to Jesus, he'll take care of all the problems. Don't you know he wasn't depressed anymore? Matter of fact, by the end of the day, he was singing. They were having a party. They had killed the fatted calf. He had a robe. He had a ring. He had shoes on his feet. And he was rejoicing. Amen. And all the depression is gone. Stay home on Sunday and see if you're not depressed. Get to church and see if you don't feel a little better. There's joy in the Father's house. There's joy in my Father's house. Oh, depression comes from being backslidden. It comes from being bound by sin. Remember Samson? We won't turn there, but in Judges 16:21, he's down there in the prison house. He's blind. He's grinding. Oh, and he's bitter. I mean, he's in the prison house of sin. Think of how depressing that had to be. His strength is gone. His power is gone. The person he loves is gone, has betrayed him. He loved Delilah, but Delilah never loved him. I mean, he has been completely shamed. His hair's gone. Don't people love their hair? Except bald people. Bald people don't have no pride. We got no pride left. Our hair's gone. That's one thing about being bald. You don't have to spend all that time in the mirror fixing your hair. There's nothing to fix. You take a cloth and shine it. You know, all the pride's gone. Look at my beautiful hair. There ain't none. The Philistines call for Samson because they want to make sport. The mighty Samson who carried the gates of Gaza upon his shoulders. The mighty Samson that slew 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. The mighty Samson that no man could bind or tame. The mighty Samson that made armies tremble is being led around by a little boy. And people are mocking him and making fun of him. I understand why people are depressed. Boy, that's what sin does to you. They're in a hospital and they're dying from their sin. They're at home and they're dying from their sin. They're in the jail and their life is wrecked. They're in some one-room shanty that's not fit for an animal to live in. They're living on the side of the street. Oh, they got a reason to be depressed. That's what sin has done to them. That's what sin does to everybody. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. Hey, a life without God is a hard life. And yeah, it brings no doubt depression in people's lives. You think about this, the backslider being backslid, being bound by sin, being beguiled by Satan. Remember the maniac of Gadara? I mean, look what the devil had drove him to. Look in Mark chapter 5. The devil had driven him to mental illness. And I can assure you that mental illness is depressing. Mom got mentally ill when I was in second grade. So I was 8 years old. And that mental illness was terrible. And it was that our house was a depressing place from time to time, to say the least. Mark chapter 5 and verse number 1. Mark 5 and verse number 1. And it says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, and who had his dwelling among the tombs." Now, if you live in a graveyard, that's as depressing as it gets, because you're living with the dead. "And no man could tame, no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been bound, often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, and neither could any man tame him. And always night and day was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones." That's depressing. That's a terrible way to live. And mental illness makes people to be suicidal and crazy. And they're beyond human help. They did everything they could to help this man, but he was beyond the help of any person. But you know what? When you're beyond the help of any person, you're never beyond the help of God. You say, could God transform one of these people on the street's lives? You better believe he can transform someone on the street. Can God transform some of these people in the lowest places in society? God can transform their lives. You say, what do they got to do? They just got to get to Jesus. Notice what happens in verse number 6. "But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him." That's the place to start. Get him to the feet of Jesus. Because Jesus can cure any problem you got. And this man is filled with devils. He's got a legion in him. And notice the devils cry out and cry with a loud voice, said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said to him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, "My name is Legion, for we are many." This man had up to 2,000 devils inside of him. But see, the man inside was no longer in charge. My mom one time got a hold of Miss Lisa back there, and she got a hold of her and shook her head like a rag doll. And it wasn't mom that was doing it. It was the devils that were doing it. And mom, till the day she died, she'd always, when she would see Lisa and baby, and my wife loved my mom. Mom loved her. They'd be together, and my mom would invariably say, "Honey, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do that to you. It wasn't me. It wasn't me." And it wasn't mom. Mom was the most gentle, kind person you'd ever want to meet. Never lift a finger to hurt anybody. It was the devils. And that was depressing, that the devils were in complete charge of her life for 20 years. The devils are in charge of this man's life, and he can't do anything. He knows what is happening, but he can't do anything about it. Until verse 13. "Forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and there they were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea." We know there had to be at least 2,000 devils. What's the devil want to do? Destroy people and kill them. Verse 15, "They come to see Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had his legion sitting, clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid." Hey, you get to Jesus, you get help from God, and you'll be clothed, sitting, and in your right mind. God's power is greater than any power the devil might have. And God can deliver people's souls. no matter what state of depression that they're in and what their depression has led them to. God can fix anything because God is greater than anything. Depression comes from being backslidden, being bound from sin, being beguiled by Satan, and yet it comes from being blinded by self. You know, being self-centered leads to depression. People don't realize that. When it's all about you all the time, it leads to depression. Hey, remember the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19? I want you to look at Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, he comes to Jesus. He's got everything going for him. I mean, he's kept the law. He's done everything he knows to do. And he comes, but he knows something is missing. Something's missing in his life. Matthew 19 and in verse number 16, look what it says. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? He said to him, Why callest thou me good? Where there is none good, but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, Which? He said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Man, he goes from the biggest to the smallest. He said, Don't be committing adultery. Don't be killing nobody. He said, don't be telling lies and don't be stealing. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith to him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away, look what it says, sorrowful, for he had great depressions. He went away depressed. Possessions. He went away depressed. Why did he go away depressed? Why was he sorrowful? Because it was all about him. Selfish, self-centered people are always in depression. Have you ever noticed how many rich people are suicidal and die from overdoses of drugs because they can't sleep or find happiness? Elvis' last words were, I'm miserable as hell. Michael Jackson, man, he was taking propofol like it was candy because he couldn't sleep at night. Prince died of an overdose. Whitney Houston, the name of few. Why is it these famous people that seem to have everything are so down and on so much medication? You'd think if anyone had something to be happy about, these people that are multi-millionaires and billionaires, they wouldn't have a care in the world. You see, you find happiness in God and giving to others. Joy, Jesus first, others second, and you last. No wonder people are in depression. You want to ease your depression? Go find some homeless person and give them a hamburger. It'll ease your depression. Give some money to a missionary. It'll ease your depression. Be a blessing to someone else. It'll ease your depression. It's no wonder there's so much depression in the day in which you look, because everyone's so self-centered. I need some me time. You've had too much me time. That's the problem. Last one is this. Well, it'll be the last one. Sometimes by being bewildered by circumstances. Circumstances can cause depression. Was Job a little depressed? He wanted to die. His children are all dead. His wife's turned against him. He's lost everything. His three friends come down to comfort him, and all they can tell him, if he wasn't such a rotten sinner, this wouldn't have happened. You know, there's a great lesson here. When someone's down, don't kick them.
I mean, when someone's lost everything, the last thing they need for you to come around and tell them was a sinner they are and how they're getting what they deserved. Miserable comforters are y'all.
And Job says, man, I'm ready to strangle all my own spit. You haven't helped me even one little bit. Elijah. He's under the juniper bush. You know? And he says, Lord, take my life from the earth. You know what God said? He said, Elijah, why don't you take a nap? I'm going to put some food on the fire and get you something to drink. You take a nap. When you get up, you'll feel better. So the meal's cooked and the oil's there, and he taps him on. He said, come on, Elijah, get something to eat, man. You'll feel better. He gets something to eat, and he takes another nap, and he gets him up, says, you need to eat a little more and take your little nap. And when you're done taking your nap, you're going to go 40 days in the power of this, what I just gave you. You know why I don't suffer from depression? Because when I'm upset, I take a nap. I get something to eat, and I take a nap. And I say, when I get up, it'll be better. You say, that doesn't work. Oh, you'd be surprised. When my mom died, and it was so quick, and I was so heartbroken, I couldn't even tell people on the phone that mom had died. I couldn't even talk through the tears. I ate me a little something. I said, God, I'm going to take a nap. And man, when I laid down and I thought I'd slept all night, and it had only been 15 minutes, but I got up and I felt like I'd slept all night. And can I tell you, God had taken all the pain of my heart away. You say, what do you do when you get worried about stuff? I ask Miss Lisa. I go take a nap. You say, why? Because that's when the Holy Ghost utters them prayers for me while I'm sleeping, with groanings which cannot be uttered. I said, God, I can't deal with this. I cannot carry this burden. I'm going to take a nap, and Lord, you carry it for me. And you can ask me, when I get up from my nap, I usually feel, I can't tell you how good I feel. You say, why? Because casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And that's some of the best sleep I've ever had in my life. When the weight of the world is on your shoulders, you say, all right, God, I'm going to take a nap. You carry it. And God says, I'll be glad to take that from you. And when I get up, it's gone. He said, Brother Chris, you're mentally ill. Well, you knew that already. It does run in my family. But thank God, Christ is the cure for it. Hey, when you feel like you can't go any further, it's time to bring that to Jesus' feet. Why try and carry something that you can't carry? Can I tell you, you cannot carry the pain of loss. You cannot carry the burden and the cares of life. They're too heavy. And if you try and carry them, the problems that ensue, you're not going to make it. I'm shocked by the amount of pastors that are on lithium and Prozac and what was all them things I described? They're on these medications. Pastors are on they're on the Zoloft. They're on the Zyprexa. They're on all these things. Why are they on all those things? They're secretly on all these things. If what you got is so wonderful, why are you so depressed? Happiness is the Lord. And striving to become a millionaire never made anybody happy. Look up all those people that have won the lottery and check out what happened to their lives and how miserable they are today.
There's only one thing that'll cure your depression. And I'll tell you that right now. It's Jesus Christ. What did the psalmist say? He starts out with, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." If you'll hunger and thirst after righteousness, guess what? The Bible says you'll be filled. "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" When are you going to make things right between you and Jesus? When are you going to get on the right path? When are you going to get on the right medicine? "My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. And I had gone with them all through, but I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day." There's joy in the Father's house. And it's the answer to all your problems. What do I tell people everywhere I go? I preach this in Cincinnati. Not this message, but this thought. I said, if you can find yourself sitting on that church pew on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday, and quit making excuses, you'll see how much better your life is. Get involved. Be a blessing to someone else. Get up off the couch and quit being lazy. The only time I have I'm on the verge of depression is when we don't have a Sunday night or Wednesday night service. Because it's so weird. You say, "Yoo-hoo, we're not having church tonight." Well, what are you going to do? You sit at home and you're looking at your watch. And, well, if we were at church, it's time for church. We'd be singing right now. We'd be preaching right now. We'd be doing this right now. And you're laying on the couch and you're miserable. Even when I got a headache, I feel better when I'm at church. You know, there are times I've come to church and I had a migraine headache I felt like my head was going to explode. But while I was preaching, I didn't feel anything. Miss Lisa felt so bad the one day, and she said, "I'm going to go home." She said, "You know what? I'm going to feel just as bad as home as I did church. I might as well come to church." But we're going to be married 40 years this year. In our 40 years of marriage, I've never seen Miss Lisa ever depressed. You know why? Because we're in the house of the Lord. We're in the place of joy. We're in the place of worship. We're in the presence of God. And being in church lifts your spirits. My mom used to beg Dad to let her go to church, and Dad said, "No, we ain't going to church. We ain't going to church. We ain't going to church." Can I tell you, Mom needed to be in church. She needed the preaching. She needed the pastor. She needed the friendship of the saints. But Dad said, "No, you're just going to stay at home and be miserable." And guess what she did? She made him miserable. And when it was all said and done, they were working on making us all miserable. Because happiness is the Lord. You suffering from depression this morning? The world's depressing. And COVID-19 has been depressing. You say, "What do you need to do?" Take your mask off. Go outside. Come to church. And be a blessing to someone else. And see if you won't feel better. Turn your lights on in your house. Darkness is depressing. open the windows and get the fresh air in, for God's sake. Go sit out on the porch. I promise you, you'll feel better. Why is your soul cast down? Why? Make some better choices in your life. And let God be the focus of everything you do. And God will take it away. Let's stand for prayer. Ms. Susan's coming. Brother Doug's coming. In the world we live in, it's natural to feel depressed. But you don't have to live in depression. And you don't have to depend upon Prozac and Zyprexa and all that other nonsense. If you've got a physical problem, get some help with that physical problem. But if you've got an emotional problem, only God can heal the mind. Medicine can heal the body, but only God can heal the mind. And God can solve your problems. He said, Brother Chris, my problems are so big. They're not bigger than God. I promise you. Bring that thing to Jesus. And don't let the devil beat you down. He does everything he can to keep you from coming in this building on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. Because if you come, you're going to get help. You stay at home, you're going to feel worse. I wish everybody could come to themselves. When the prodigal came to himself, he got down to the Father's house, and it was better than he expected. Father, I pray you'd bless the word. Pray the Holy Spirit would speak to all of our hearts. And God, for those that struggle with depression, and God, I know there are those who struggle with depression. God, that you'd help them to cast every care upon you. And God, that you would help them with those feelings that they have. Would you help them with their emotions that they have. And God, that you would help those, God, that are, the pain that they feel from day to day and week to week and month to month. God, that you would show them that you can solve their problems. Lord, you can fix anything. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Show your mighty power. Show your, Lord, your ability. You're the great physician and the mighty God. Lord, help us to see our part as to just get to the Father's house. Bless the invitation, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. With head bowed and eyes closed, music going to play. And maybe what you need is to find a place to pray. Maybe what you need to find a place to pour out your heart to God and say, oh, my soul, why art thou cast down? Oh, my soul, why do I feel this way, God? Lord, I need your help. Oddly, Jeremiah said, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You got to get to Jesus. That'll solve the problems. Sing it, Brother Doug.